was December the 6th, 1983. I was doing time for armed robbery. At 4 in the morning, I was sitting in my cell. I heard a whistle blow, then I heard somebody yell.
There's a riot going on. There's a riot going on. There's a riot going on. Up in cell block number 9.
Live from Albany, New York. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Folks, I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. Thank you for joining us. And you're listening to us coming to you live from the Collecting in Bankruptcy two-day weekend seminar just completed with a wonderful group of attendees, a wonderful group of rabble-rousers who, as you hear, who have, I'm sure, a lot to say tonight. My friends, we were supposed to come to you from a special broadcast room tonight, and within the last 10 minutes, we discovered that the facility wasn't available, so we have gathered in the lobby of the conference facility. We truly are rabble-rousers, rabble-rousers and revolutionaries, to bring to you some of the observations, maybe some of the lessons we've learned, myself included, I might add, at the first and only Collecting in Bankruptcy seminar, and we have a wonderful group of people to join us. Excuse me. So thank you for joining us. The call-in number tonight is 800-313-9443 for those who would like to, excuse me, for those who would like to join in the party. And let me apologize for the way I sound. We are changing our normal electronic circuitry here to try and accommodate the audience. And I've been talking for 2 days straight, and most of my voice is gone, which probably comes as great news to most of you out there. But let's get to it. Tonight is Sunday, September 16th, and we're going to be discussing methods for collecting on your commercial instruments in bankruptcy, methods for protecting your property against foreclosure and other collection actions when collectors come at you in retribution for your paying with public policy methodologies that they may not be as familiar with as they should be, considering their bankers. And we'll also be uncovering some new technology that sort of appeared today during the course of the lectures, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
For me they were fleeting thoughts. They came and they went, but I know many people took notes carefully, and hopefully they'll be able to prompt us and we'll be able to share some of that with you. For instance, we discussed a way that if one was in a bankruptcy court scenario for the purpose of trying to delay the chaos in their life, we discovered that the United States, thank you very much, that the United States has a 180-day window if it believes it's a claimant to file its Form B-10 or its equivalent proof of claim. And it occurred to us, perhaps, that we might, in our records, be able to find somewhere where we have a debt to an agency of the United States that we forgot about. For instance, pick an agency. Let's say Health and Human Services, and we might drop them a letter through a notary saying, according to my records, I believe I might have a $1,000 liability to you.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar-powered generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Take No Prisoners coming to you live from Albany, New York. From Albany, New York, from the Collecting in Bankruptcy Free Seminar, I might add. Which may have been a mistake. But here we are live, ladies and gentlemen, coming to you in your living rooms. I'm sorry I stepped on that last commercial. We're doing things a little differently tonight, as we've had a couple of judges say in the courtroom. We're doing things differently, and so we may have some technical glitches, but the essence is for 2 hours we're going to have fresh, first-hand, new technology information. What I was mentioning before the break was that if we wrote a letter delivered through notary process, to the, for instance, the Department of Health and Human Services, and we said, I believe my records suggest to me that I owe you $1,000. Would you please confirm that? And one way to confirm would be, don't respond, and we'll have the notary certify that confirmation. And, of course, when they don't respond within 10 days, the notary certifies that you have a viable liability to Health and Human Services. Then why could not one send a letter administratively to the trustee or file a petition for a court hearing or whatever other resource or mechanism is being used what's next in line or what's being used to increase your flexibility and buy some time in your other cases, excuse me, by going to the court or going to the trustee in whatever form and saying, excuse me, but we believe the United States, one of these agencies, in this case Health and Human Services of the United States, has a claim but has not yet submitted its B-10. We would like to delay for that so we can include them in the plan. And they have 180 days to respond. So that's one very simple way that you could be tacking on time, waiting for that B-10 form to come in. And now the clerk has to send a B-10 form over to an alert about the bankruptcy to Health and Human Services, and Health and Human Services has to check its records and look for that liability. And as we said, it may take them 6 months just to find your letter and open it. And in the meantime, you may be able to use that as just one of many leverage tools we discussed today for going into bankruptcy. One of the primary issues that we discussed was the difference between being in bankruptcy as a debtor and appearing in bankruptcy as a creditor to the debtor in bankruptcy. And we saw that there were, I hope we saw that there were resources and methods and operations that could be effective in both cases. For instance, if you're in there as a debtor and you don't have time to change things around, and you want to keep it exactly like it is, and you're about to face the so-called meeting of the creditors. Well, what if immediately before that meeting you made one change? You submitted a new Schedule D, and you listed a new secured creditor. And that secured creditor was another party to whom your straw party owed funds by way of contract. Could be a member of your group, could be a friend, could be something of that sort, and he files a B-10 that day. Now he's at the creditors meeting. What if there were two of those? What if there one of them, one of those parties provided a form B-10 attached to which was a signed security interest, signed by you as agent for the straw party? And what if one of those, what if another friendly creditor, as we referred to them, a notary public, also known as an agent of the Secretary of State, attached to his form B-10, his proof of claim, an unsigned security interest, or at least an item that he terms a security interest, and fills in the B-10 to indicate it's a security interest in whatever amount, maybe even a pre-existing claim to all the other claims that are brought by any other agencies or bureaus, except his is not signed. So now, when you're at the creditors meeting, one of these creditors pipes up and says to the trustee, excuse me, I have a question for one of these other creditors. Or perhaps at an objection hearing, because if you object to one of the liens, let's say, well, let's pick on Health and Human Services. Let's say Health and Human Services has sent you bills for student loans or something of that sort, and you pay them using a BIC promissory note routed through a bond on file with the Secretary of Treasury. And you've developed a complete administrative remedy and default, or a commercial lien and notice of fault and default, all properly executed, and now you have bona fide evidence, which is then filed in a county, and certified copies taken back out in your hand, in which a public official, two public officials, have certified the authenticity of the evidence that the other parties, those agencies, Health and Human Services, whoever's responsible there, whoever was named as a fiduciary on your instrument, has confessed to being the liable party on the instrument and in this entire matter at hand. So you have that at hand. Someone else is liable. And there's plenty of evidence to that effect. So you're also facing a purported lien, a form B-10, from Health and Human Services, which has a bunch of numbers on it, but nothing signed, no signed security agreement at all. So what if at, what if you filed into that case a petition in the nature of a motion or a simple motion of an objection to their claim, which is a bona fide part of the bankruptcy proceeding? Am I right, folks? We read those statutes today. And they call a hearing and you get to speak first. And you simply say to the judge, excuse me, judge, would you please ask Mr. Jones over there if that's his signature on the Form B-10? And would you please ask him to read the statement below the signature? And it says something about, it doesn't say he signed under penalty of perjury, but they'll interpret it that way. It says, the penalty for perjury is, well, whatever it was. What did it say on that form? $500,000. Would you please ask him if that's his signature above that? Fine. So ask him to confirm that he signed under penalty of perjury. And the man will probably say yes to that if you press the issue. And then please ask him to read this area of the form that I've highlighted where it says secured interest in the amount of $985,000. And now poor Mr. Jones from Health and Human Services has to read secured interest for $985,000. And your next question is, Mr. Jones, did you happen to bring the security interest with you? And what is he going to say? What will he say? He's going to staple to the Form B-10. Where the heck were you guys today? It's late, folks. Everybody's sleeping. So he's going to say, yes, it's attached to it. Oh, very good. Could we turn to it? And you thumb through it and you say, my goodness, I can't see. Mr. Jones, would you please show me my signature somewhere here where I consented to the lien and to the liability? And he'll thumb through. His face will get a little red. He'll look and say, no, I can't seem to do that. Well, do you happen to have an affidavit of obligation that I signed? No. Do you have a contract that I signed? No. Do you have an agreement that I signed? No. Do you have a statute that I signed on to? No. Do you have anything at all? Well, Mr. Jones, I withdraw that question. What do you have? Well, we have these pieces of paper. I see. And you grab a piece of paper, and you write a few numbers on the piece of paper in a magic marker, and you hand it to him, or hand it to the judge or the trustee, whatever, wherever this hearing is being held. And you say, would you please show this to Mr. Jones and ask Mr. Jones what this is we're handing him? At this point, you probably get some screaming and objections. All right, just ask him. I don't want to lead the witness, but just ask him if this is a piece of paper with numbers on it. And if so, how does it differ from the piece of paper with numbers that he stapled to the Form B-10? And basically what I'm saying here is you're going to deconstruct that and put poor Mr. Jones into a situation where he has, where his face gets very red and he has a predicament. And the predicament, very simply, is that he signed, he swore under penalty of perjury that he or his agency is holding a security interest against you of a particular amount, in this case, what, $985,000, when in fact he has nothing at all. And he hasn't come forth and said, oh, that must have been a mistake. So apparently he's doing this willfully, isn't he? And so you might turn to the trustee at that point and say, excuse me, what are you going to do about this, man? What do you mean, what am I going to do about this? Well, am I to understand that you are going to be violating or ignoring your obligations under 28 U.S.C. section 586 subparagraph F that requires you to report any criminal activity you observe at this hearing directly to the U.S. attorney? Well, there's a question to mull over, folks. Why don't you pretend you're the U.S. trustee? How are you going to answer that when we come back from this commercial break? My friends, please join us in 3 minutes. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. Thanks for joining us.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint Water System with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar-powered generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
Yeehaw! Well, that was terrible. Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network, live from Albany, New York. All right, my friends, before we continue any further, let me just make a couple of brief announcements as usual. First of all, if you need a notary who is skilled in BIC procedures or commercial remedies, please send an email which has a subject line that says, I need a notary, and list your state to Notary Depot, D-E-P-O-T, at hush.com, and they'll be able to hook you up just fine, I'm sure. We've had nothing but good feedback from them. Also, if you want to partake in this merriment, on October 11th to the 15th at the Law Merchant Leadership Retreat, then please send an email to Roberta T, as in Thomas, at hush.com. And I would advise that you probably don't waste much time doing that. We were over half full for that conference. 2 days ago, and many people here have expressed their desire and actually went ahead and pre-registered, and those are being shipped to Roberta tonight or tomorrow morning. So we're getting close to being closed out, and I hate to be put in the position of turning people away, as has happened in the past. Most people. Not all. In fact, there are a number of people in this room I wish I had had the pleasure of. But other than that, casual diversion, please send an email to Roberta without too much delay at robertat@hush.com, and she will take good care of you. I'm sure she always does. Excuse me. If you would like, if you're having trouble acquiring an apostille or having documents filed in your county, then might I suggest you send an email to pfile@hush.com. Now, don't expect an answer right away, because the protocols have not yet been fully worked out. I promise you it would be by this weekend, but we're going to be delayed another couple of days. And there are people there who have agreed to do filings. There'll be a fee, but especially for mass copies, I think it'll be economical for you. And they'll be able to file things and secure apostilles and get them back to you in a timely fashion. So thank you very much. In answer to a question I see here by email, yes, we are taking calls, so please hang on the line. We appreciate that. When we come back from the break, we're going to interview one of the attendees who's in the middle of a bankruptcy case. Let me just ask, are you in bankruptcy as a debtor at this point?
Yes.
All right. Now, are you interested in turning around to being a creditor?
Yes.
Very good. So that may be a topic of enjoyment when we come back, because we'll discuss how very simply, given the wonderful license to kill that bankruptcy court provides, and I mean that facetiously and rhetorically and not seriously, to all those FBI agents out there who are already sliding their arms in their overcoats, I would never advocate the violent overthrow of the United States government, because I am the government.
Yeah.
And you... And since I understand that, I want to peacefully coexist with any fictional pretenders to the throne. So, and I suggest that to everyone else as well. So where was I? No one remembers. Notice, I'm sure my words are extremely noteworthy. And lastly, if you're interested in acquiring Rockland, especially since we're going back to some of the earlier comprehensive administrative remedies, that can be ordered, or you can address questions to me at takenoprisoners@hush.com. I've been tied up for days. I haven't been monitoring emails. I've been in hibernation preparing materials, if not preparing my lectures. And that box, I'm sure, is already over its allotment from Hush. So please, if it bounces back, don't get all upset and send us an angry email later. But just send it on again in the future, maybe in a day or two, because I promise we'll have that cleaned out by Tuesday morning, probably Monday night at the latest. And finally, if you receive a mass emailing from us, please remember, if you respond to the account that sends it, it will be a long wait to receive a response, because we don't monitor those accounts. And in fact, sometimes those accounts only last for one mailing before the email host suspends the account, because we send out a lot of emails. For some reason, they confuse a large number of emails from people who desire them with spam. That's because bandwidth is money, so they'll make all those decisions in their favor. But we love you, because we can always sign up in 5 minutes under another name. There's an infinite number of parameters in the English language, and I'm sure we're going to have some fun with that over the next few years as those names evolve. Lord only knows what we'll come up with. Anyway, Take No Prisoners is now on Saturday as well at 1 p.m. I'm sorry for yesterday's rebroadcast, but I was tied up in lecture. And we're gonna interview a very interesting guest who's in bankruptcy at the moment. Should be a great learning experience, a great entertainment feature, in just a few seconds after this break. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. Please join us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar powered generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar powered generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's Ken Solar.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept!
Hi, welcome to America. Glad you made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to Take No Prisoners, live from Albany, New York, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. All right. Thank you, folks. Enough of that nonsense. So, my friends, we're back for a lengthier segment. We're about to introduce a special guest. Let me just read you one thing out of the bankruptcy law. Did I actually say that? Out of the bankruptcy code. 11 U.S.C. Section 704, subparagraph 1. The trustee shall collect and reduce to money the property of the estate. It's a bankruptcy estate, by the way, because the debtor is already bankrupt, and when the debtor now comes forth and declares that he has nothing, it has no property, it can't even pay its electric bills, it is commercially dead, and hence you create a bankruptcy estate. All right, that said, so just think about that. The trustee's job, number one on the list, is to reduce to money the property of the estate. In other words, when you file a Chapter 13 or a Chapter 7 bankruptcy, the first thing you are doing when you file those few forms and schedules is you are presenting to the trustee all of your property. It becomes the trustee's property. The trustee now takes title to the property and all of the liability associated therewith. And then the trustee has to go and collect on the property. So keep in mind, that could be an interesting collection process if you, as a secured party, first-in-line creditor, or even better yet, a good friend of yours is first-in-line secured party creditor to the debtor in bankruptcy straw party, and that debtor in bankruptcy straw party holds a lien against, let's say, the CFO of the Bank of Non-America, then the trustee would be in the position of having to collect on that lien, monetizing the lien. And that presents all kinds of interesting scenarios. That said, let me introduce Jim Davis, who's sitting next to me and has been kind enough to grace us with his presence at the Collecting and Bankruptcy Seminar. Good evening, Jim.
Good evening.
Thank you for joining us. Jim, I understand you have a case in bankruptcy. Why don't you bring us up to speed? When did the debtor in bankruptcy file the action?
June 22nd
of this year. And why did you think that the debtor in bankruptcy should file a bankruptcy action?
To stop the foreclosure.
All right, to stop the foreclosure. And how many people in the room have filed bankruptcy actions? Yes, a good percentage of people in the room. And how many filed to stop a foreclosure? Almost all the same hands went up. How many have filed to monetize a commercial lien? It's a vast sea of emptiness.
Of course.
And so, let's see if we can turn a filing to delay a foreclosure into a filing to monetize a commercial lien using the 007 rules of bankruptcy, the license to kill. All right, Jim. Where are you at now in your case?
I have received an order from the judge that the attorney for the foreclosure has asked for to remove the or be able to go forward with his judgment.
Okay. If I understand correctly, what you're saying is that the attorney for the foreclosure has put in a motion to dismiss the bankruptcy?
No, to remove the stay.
All right. We spoke about this earlier today. The attorney, when you file bankruptcy, there is an automatic stay on almost all collection procedures and proceedings underway, including court judgments from other courts. The bankruptcy court has vast jurisdiction within the fictional United States Corporation. And one of the exempt collection categories to be aware of are those dealing with domestic issues, such as child support. Those would be exempt. But the foreclosure is asking for a release of the stay for the bank. For what reason?
So they can sell my property.
Of course, so they can sell the property, but what is their justification for being immune from an automatic stay that applies to them?
I'm not sure.
All right, so the first thing Jim will want to do is check that petition that they put in and find out what grounds they are looking for to stay the stay. And now, I certainly haven't memorized what those grounds are, but I think we might actually be able to take a look at that. Relief from stay. Let me read you from the Chapter 13 strategy manual that we have composed and embellished for this conference, which is many pages highlighted in order of importance. guiding someone through a bankruptcy procedure and some of the tricks of the trade with hot links to all of the codes and pasted in sections of code so you can pretty much read it and understand exactly what's happening. And here's an example. This was distributed on the CD to these fine folks as on the Collecting in Bankruptcy CD. A couple, I think, got blank CDs by accident. My apologies. Creditors can petition for relief of the stay. The creditor must request a hearing. That's the stage that we're going to presume Jim is at. Excuse me.
The judges said yes, they can go forward.
The judge said that they can go forward and be exempt from the stay. So you've already, they held a hearing.
Yes.
Did you show at that hearing?
No.
All right. I'm sorry to say that Jim's answer to that was no, I didn't show at the hearing. So let me ask you, why didn't you show? I'm curious about this.
I was working.
You were working. Did you understand that if you didn't show, your reason for doing the bankruptcy would be undermined because they would be granted the relief from the stay by your failure to show?
Right.
Yeah. So basically, your bankruptcy action is dead. All right. Now, what are we going to do about that? Have you developed an administrative process against the bank? Did you pay the bank with a bonded promissory note, a BIC instrument, a bill of exchange, anything at all?
Yes.
You did. What did you tell us about that, please?
Well, I'd sent two bills of exchange, one through the Treasury, one to the mortgage company with instructions, and they've kept still proceeding. And I also sent a bonded promissory note to the Treasury.
You sent a bonded promissory note to Treasury. All right, now that's not our normal BIC protocol, but we know. Didn't we have someone report some success doing that, or did I confuse that? All right, did you put an indemnity bond in to Treasury? So you filed a BIC indemnity bond with the Treasury.
An indemnity bond, but I don't believe it was a BIC.
Did it list accounts and account holders? All right, that would be, I see what you're saying. That is a BIC instrument from what you're describing. It doesn't name joint beneficiaries because the promissory note doesn't name beneficiaries at all. But, excuse me, the indemnity bond doesn't name beneficiaries at all. I misspoke. But the bonded promissory note you wrote referred back to that indemnity bond, routed through that indemnity bond in some way, or through an offset bond. Through an offset bond, a private offset bond, that routed through the indemnity bond, and the bonded promissory note named as its fiduciaries and beneficiaries.
The Secretary of the Treasury, the mortgage company, and the attorney.
The mortgage company or the CFO of the mortgage company or an officer of the mortgage company? You name the mortgage company itself. All right. Now, that's not typically what we do, but that's what happens sometimes in these procedures. People change them, and hopefully you have a reason for doing that. Are you working with a mentor or someone who attended a previous conference?
No.
All right. So where did you acquire this information?
From Winston Stroud.
Okay, from Winston Stroud, directly from Winston?
No, not directly, but with his information.
Okay, and which of Winston's courses was that?
Gosh,
Was it Fort Collins?
I think it was in Fort Collins folder, yeah.
Okay, I'm not certain that Fort Collins covered bonded promissory notes. I know Winston spoke heavily about the BC bond. That's where he unleashed the private offset and what is it? Well, we use an unlimited private bond for set off, which is based upon the birth certificate.
Thank you, actually.
May have been, yeah. I'm not familiar with that course. But anyway, a bonded promissory note was tendered. Was it tendered through a notary?
No, it was tendered in person.
You took the promissory note to Treasury, or did you pay it to the mortgage company? Tell us about the bonded promissory note, not the indemnity bond. What did you do with it?
I took it down to the county, and I had the county notary in the building witness my signature, and then I recorded it into the county record, and then I mailed it certified or secured registered mail to the Treasury.
All right, so you sent it to Treasury. You never sent it directly to the mortgage company.
No, I believe I sent a copy.
A copy to them. All right, you gave them a copy, but you sent it directly to Treasury. All right, generally, what we like to do, if we can, is send bonded promissory notes directly to the fiduciary on it. So, for instance, we might have named a CFO of the bank or the mortgage company, whatever entity it is, as a fiduciary, perhaps a co-fiduciary along with the attorney, and transfer the liability to them. Once they're holding the instrument, once they're the holder in due course of the instrument, they are holding all liability, and in 10 days the notary will certify that they have confessed to what? To being what? To being liable? To being the successor surety. That's right, my friends. And once they're the successor surety, you pretty much have them where you want them. So you're at a point where you found no way. When did you send that stuff to them? Before or after you filed the bankruptcy?
Before I filed the bankruptcy.
All right, it was sent before Jim filed the bankruptcy. But at that point, you were at a loss as to how to enforce them other than going into bankruptcy. Is that correct?
And I was out of money, yeah.
Out of money and out of ideas. Yeah, both of those are hard situations to face. So he's in bankruptcy now, and he's faced a situation where the object of the bankruptcy, the mortgage company, went to the judge, held a hearing. Jim didn't show, and somehow, and that somehow his name is Default, was able to achieve a stay from the automatic stay. So might I suggest that if I was in that situation, what I might do? I might treat all of my, you dishonored your own procedures, excuse me for being blunt, by going to work. Well, you're out of money, so you had to go to work. And I know this is the double bind you wind up in when you face all these battles. I know what it's like. You've had garnishments and seizures and liens and levies and all kinds of things, and really you start to feel the heat. And it clouds judgment a little bit, and it makes it hard to think ahead as to what's going to happen. Might I suggest that if I was in that situation, I would simply call another hearing and show up this time. I would put in a petition. Well, it depends on who's going to put the petition in. If the bankruptcy stays like this and it's just the debtor in bankruptcy as the principal, then the debtor in bankruptcy would put in a simple motion to reconsider, and you'd hold the hearing, and now you'd make them present their reasons. Motion to reconsider, secondary to hardship caused failure to appear. And you would apologize. What would item number one be? Paragraph number one in that pleading might say something like, I regret and deeply apologize, sincerely apologize for having missed the previous hearing due to, and it could be as simple as financial destitution caused by the purported creditor who has filed an improper lien. In fact, I would make this a double petition, now that I think of it. I would make it a motion to reconsider the default ruling on the judge's order, however he titled it, order relieving or releasing the ABC Mortgage Company from the automatic stay and authorizing them to continue with the foreclosure.
It wasn't like they weren't informed that I wasn't going to be there.
But informing them you're not going to be there, what Jim just said was it wasn't like they weren't informed that I was not going to be there. But that's like saying, I'm letting you know I'm going to drive your car into a tree. Yeah, well, Jim said that happened too. Jim, are you a plant? Jim, exactly what branch of the FBI do you work for?
The female branch.
All right. So I might add a second line to the title on this pleading or put in a second pleading, asking for a hearing because you object to their what? Object to the claim, object to the lien. And we reviewed that, and it's in these bankruptcy strategy notes, that there is an objection, there is a method for very simply objecting to the lien. Line number one in that part of the petition. Maybe make that a separate petition. Line number one. The petitioner objects to the lien pursuant to petitioner objects to the lien as there is no evidence of a defect in registered public record number such and such, that would be the county filing record, in which, well, folks, we're going to have to continue this after the break. What a time to be interrupted. You don't want to miss this petition. This petition will return to Jim, $1 million cash dollars within 24 hours. Now, if that doesn't bring you back after the break, nothing will. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Do you know what you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar power generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Let's get
boogie train.
It's the boogie train. It's the boogie train. Lord only knows what that means. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Take No Prisoners live from Albany, New York on September 16th, Sunday night. Yeah. Thank you very much. What's the matter, folks? You getting tired? Have you been lecturing all day without food? All right. So we're talking with a very interesting fellow here, Jim, and I have a feeling this interview may make 60 minutes. This interview is going to provide a lot of entertainment for all of us. All right. So we might submit two petitions. Remember, you can undo anything in commerce. We discovered that today. Does anyone remember that example? Because I don't. There was something that happened today. Does anyone remember what it is? Just call it out. Well, we're going to go into all of that. Especially in bankruptcy, you can redo anything. For instance, all of the schedules in which the debtor in bankruptcy lists its assets, meaning its liabilities, its personal property, which is the way they term it, and they have to because in that form, no one knows what the hell an asset or liability is. And it lists its known secured creditors, its known priority creditors, its known unsecured creditors. All of those can be amended or changed or rewritten entirely and resubmitted as many times as you want. There's one case, we resubmitted every 3 days a new set of amendments. We didn't do that to confuse them. We did that because we discovered we kept screwing up. And so we kept remedying it. But you want to keep that to a minimum because you don't want to appear like you don't know, like you are, don't know what you're doing. So, what I might do in a situation like this, if it was me, is have two pleadings. One would be a pleading to reconsider that order, or to call for a hearing to reconsider that order based upon hardship. And the first line in that might be a simple apology. I sincerely apologize. I deeply regret and sincerely apologize. Express my sincere apologies for having missed the meeting. And you might list the reason. And the reason is that you're bankrupt and you couldn't put food on your table and you would expect the court to show mercy as the bankruptcy is being caused, your state of bankruptcy is being caused by a false claim. Please see accompanying motion to object to that claim. And what would the grounds for objection to that claim be? Paragraph number one. One, there is no evidence of a defect in registered public record number, whatever, that's the county filing number, in which John Jones, agent for the Secretary of State of the state of whatever, New York, Jersey, Florida, California, has certified that, and then you would name the party, ABC Mortgage Company, or Mr. or Jane Smith at ABC Mortgage Company has confessed to holding all liability in the matter of, and you list the case number or whatever, however you're referring to it. That simple. By a negative averment, you have undermined the entire assumption that they have a valid claim. And we're going to explore that when we come back from the break in the second hour of Take No Prisoners from at the Republic Broadcasting Network from Albany, New York. Please join us, my friend.
It's true.